Hello and welcome to the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Chris Anderson, and joining me today, as ever, is Michael the Crusher Henson to review the second night of the 2020 WWE draft on Raw. A lot, and I mean a lot, went on, so let's get straight into it.
And as many of our listeners will know, when we do our reviews, we do get a bit carried away with ourselves. We're going to change up the format a bit for this review and future reviews. We're going to quickly run through the results of the show. We're going to pick our top three moments from the show, one match to watch, and then we'll do a summary. So it's going to get a bit more structure into our lives and your lives as well. So we'll start with the draft, and we had a big round one. Mine and Chris's current favourite character in the whole WWE, The Fiend Bray Wyatt, getting on Raw. Bayley stays on SmackDown. Randy Orton stays on Raw. The Street Profits move over to SmackDown, which we can get onto later in our summary, but there's a bit of a weird situation with that. And Charlotte went to Raw. Chris, round two?
Round two, we had Braun Strowman staying on Raw, but kind of moving over from SmackDown because he's been a bit in between recently, but officially remaining on Raw. Daniel Bryan on SmackDown, where he belongs. Matt Riddle moving over to Raw. Kevin Owens onto SmackDown. And Jeff Hardy making his return to Raw. Good round, strong round, round three. Crush, take it away.
Start off a strange pick. A group that has caused chaos in WWE for months. A group that wants to end WWE. A group that got signed to WWE. Retribution are on Raw officially. We were promised a Mustafa Ali explanation. That never came around, so I'm not sure what happened there. But he did tweet saying time waits for no man or something like that. He's put a tweet out basically explaining that he'll do it when he's ready. Lars Sullivan goes to SmackDown. Keith Lee stays on Raw. King Corbin stays on SmackDown, and a brand switch, Rooney, as Alexa Bliss moves to Raw to be reunited with her close personal friend, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
And then on to round four, where I think you will never find more value in a round of draft picks than round four. We had Elias, the returning Elias on Raw, Sami Zayn, your reigning Intercontinental Champion on SmackDown, Lacey Evans probably having the hottest rise of any women's superstar at the moment on Raw. Former tag team champions Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro going to SmackDown. And Sheamus, a four-time world champion, a King of the Ring winner, a Royal Rumble winner. He's heading over to Raw. Great value in this round from both parties, which led us on to round five. Crush, over to you.
I was sort of surprised that Sami Zayn went in round four because he was the Intercontinental Champion.
Nonsense. Nonsense that the IC Champion went in round four.
But a separate point altogether. Round five, Nikki Cross on Raw, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode on SmackDown. Our close personal friend, the 24/7 Champion, R-Truth on Raw. Apollo Crews, hallelujah. Apollo Crews will never have to see the Hurt Business again. The poor fella has been getting battered by Hurt Business for God knows how long. He has now been drafted to SmackDown. And to finish the round, Dabba Kato is on Raw. Obviously, he's a big part of Raw Underground, which I haven't seen for a couple of weeks, but that'll no doubt be coming back soon. And then the last round, round six tonight. Chris?
Round six starts off. What a pick this is. You go with experience. Titus O'Neil on Raw. Next up, we have Carmella onto SmackDown. This surprised me a little bit because with all the the vignettes she's had recently, I was expecting her to go higher to get a bigger push. But she went in round six, followed by Peyton Royce onto Raw. Aleister Black somehow slipping to the very end of round six to SmackDown. And then finally, drawing the draft to a close within the main show of Raw, Akira Tozawa himself, still on Raw, still looking for that 24/7 championship. That closed out the rounds. There was another round of picks I saw on Raw Talk, but we've gone through so many picks already that you'll find they're on the internet. Right. Just go find them. We were scraping the barrel at this point. Let's get into match results. So the first match of the night after a couple of promos was Kevin Owens against Aleister Black in a no DQ match. This was a very, very good match. We'll go into a bit more detail later, but this was a good match to start off with. Next up, we had a triple threat. This is the match that had the biggest names in for the night. Jeff Hardy, a new Raw superstar, taking on AJ Styles, a new Raw superstar, versus the one superstar who's leaving Monday Night Raw, the self-appointed locker room leader, the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, in a triple threat, not tag match, Jeff. This was another very, very good match. AJ Styles got the win after the returning Elias wrapped his guitar around the back of Jeff Hardy for the 1-2-3. Next up, we had women's tag team competition. It was the team of Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, who are fast becoming one of my favorite female tag teams that we have. I've enjoyed their work a lot recently, versus Lana and Natalia. This was essentially a squash match in which Mandy and Dana controlled it throughout, never looked in trouble, getting the win over Lana. After the match, Natalia turned her back on her friend Lana, splitting up that tag team. It was all going wrong for Lana until later on in the show, which we'll get into. Next up, we had Andrade versus Angel Garza with Zelina Vega on commentary in what we'll assume will be the blow-off to their feud. Andrade, as of the time of recording, still a free agent, unsigned by the WWE, which is absolutely nonsense to me. Could go to either brand yet, but Angel Garza got the win with a wing clipper in what we'll assume will blow off the feud. This disappointed me a little bit, but let's not go into too much detail. As we've said, there's not enough time in the day. After that, we had the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Now, the New Day, who were the Tag Team Champions for Raw, because Street Profits got drafted by SmackDown, so they just swapped belts, because that was the most logical thing to do. Sure, that's how titles work, I guess. The Raw Tag Team Champions, now the New Day, taking on Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. New Day go over, winning via the midnight hour. Again, great to see Xavier Woods looking back at full fitness. He really went in this match. He looked at 100%. This was a good match. After that, probably the greatest finish to a match you'll ever see, which we'll get into more detail in a minute. Cedric Alexander versus Ricochet, where if Ricochet lost the match, he would have to join Hurt Business. Ricochet was victorious via disqualification. We'll tell you how that happened in a minute. And then rounding out the show with in-ring action was a WWE cross-brand women's battle royale match to decide who will take on Asuka next week on Raw for the Raw Women's Championship. And this match was won by, quite frankly, a future Hall of Famer for the women's division. Lana wins it via some good old-fashioned shenanigans. Everyone forgot she was still in the match. She'd been put through a table by Nia Jax. Natalia, having just dumped Lana early on in the show, was the last woman standing before Lana snuck back in, dumped her over the top rope. That's right, Lana will be taking on Asuka for the women's title next week. Those are your Raw results. We'll get into our top three moments, though, as we mentioned earlier. So, Crush, I'm going to hand over to you. What was your number one moment from Monday Night Raw? Hit me.
Just before we go into that, picking up on that point about Lana, it's very Rusev in either the 2015 or 2016 Royal Rumble, where he got put out via the middle rope, and then everyone thinks, oh, it's over, and then he appears, but then Roman Reigns still won anyway. So my number one moment is Ricochet's tribute to Eddie Guerrero, Mr. Viva La Raza himself, who sadly passed away in 2005. It would have been his 53rd birthday on the 9th of October, which was Friday. So this is a tribute to him. So basically, as Chris mentioned in the Raw Roundup, that if Ricochet lost, he would have had to join the Hurt Business. So the ref's got his back turned. Ricochet has a steel chair. He bangs it on the mat. He chucks it to Cedric Alexander and then does this proper over-top feint, gets the disqualification and picks up the win.
Yeah, I agree. This was my top one moment as well. And if any time we see the Eddie Guerrero finish with the chair hitting the mat, throw the chair across, fake the injury, I'm always for it. I think it's a really, really good way to do it. Like I said, it's a nice tribute to Eddie Guerrero. It was actually a nice finish to this feud, this never-ending feud of Ricochet versus the Hurt Business, because they're now, with Apollo Crews now on separate brands to the Hurt Business, that left Ricochet on his own. They made the bet earlier in the match that if Ricochet won, Hurt Business would leave him alone. If Hurt Business won, he would join Hurt Business. Both sides stay strong. I think the most important thing was to protect Hurt Business, because they have been so strong for so long. They didn't lose clean, but Ricochet doesn't have to join the brand. I think this is just a good booking decision, and it's one of those things that will put a smile on your face. I enjoyed this a lot. I'm going to dive in next for my number two pick from the show, and that is more Fiend versus and Alexa Bliss goodness. This story has been running for a while now. I really, really enjoy it. This came in the Andrade versus Angel Garza match. We saw Angel Garza hits his finish, the wing clipper, for the win. 1-2-3. He leaves smiling. Zelina Vega comes back into the ring to check on Andrade. Suddenly, The lights go funky. The music goes weird. There's red everywhere. We see Alexa Bliss in one corner doing the famous fiend pose where she's essentially upside down with her hands on the rope. Andrade and Zelina Vega look concerned, as you would do. Shot reverse, back behind them. There's the fiend. He locks in Andrade for Sister Abigail. Alexa Bliss locks in Zelina Vega for Sister Abigail. They both hit. We get that shot. It's more of this goodness. I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Crush?
Yeah, this is my second top moment as well. Like, there's an angle on WWE's Twitter, I believe. It's a GIF rather than a video. And it is literally in sync, the Sister Abigail. They both turn at the same point. They both hit at the same point. It is incredible storylines from WWE. Like, we praised them a lot. This is praise that they haven't, because this storyline has been going on for 4 months, 5 months since Extreme Rules, when obviously Alexa Bliss appeared as Sister Abigail in Braun Strowman's Vision during his match with The Fiend. And I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes, because it has so many opportunities. It's limitless. It's not Keith Lee, but it is limitless. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing where this goes. And now we're on to my third top moment of the night, coming in with the bronze medal. It is Mr. Elias himself returning to WWE after his injury to run in and interrupt the triple threat match, where he absolutely bashed Jeff Hardy in the back with a guitar. Probably one of the best guitar shots ever in WWE. I'm putting that online. One of the best guitar shots ever in WWE to set up a victory for AJ Styles. And later in that night, Elias explained that he blames Jeff Hardy for injuring him in the car accident, even though the culprit was still at large. And he promises a grand return next week. I'll be tuning in. You better tune in, because Elias is going to give us the best musical concert of all time.
See, this is my one time I'm going to disagree with you. Not that Elias's return wasn't incredible. It's great to see him back. But there was one spot in the Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black match that I think deserves its own segment. And this was a Aleister Black meteora, so double knees off the top rope to Kevin Owens through his stack of chairs. Now, meteoras are like notoriously difficult to hit cleanly. They just are, because you're essentially trying to hit someone with your shins. They have to catch you by the shins. You keep yourself upright and you get a good clean bump. To do this onto a stack of chairs looked absolutely brutal. It was a brilliant spot. It was easily a pay-per-view level spot that was given to you free on Raw. I really, really enjoyed it. The whole match is excellent, which in fact, I'm going to use that to link into my one match to watch for the evening. And that is Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black in a no DQ match. This is a really, really good show opening match. It's a great no DQ match. It's very different to the Sheamus versus Big E match that we saw. Obviously, that was Falls Count Anywhere. This was just a no DQ match. But the spots they do are brilliantly done. They all tell a story. We see Aleister Black selling his leg after Meteora. We see Kevin Owens selling his back after he got essentially yeeted onto the announce table. It's a really, really good match. It's well deserving of your time. Check it out if you get the chance. Crush, what do you think? What is your one match to watch for the week?
My one match to watch from the night, not the week, Christopher, is the triple threat match between Jeff Hardy, Seth Rollins, and AJ Styles. Now, this match has three men, but also about five or six different storylines, because the first one is Seth Rollins is out to say he's glad to leave for Friday Night SmackDown, and the fans will be sorry he's going to leave Raw because he's the greatest leader in Raw history. We then get Jeff Hardy coming back out saying Seth's on SmackDown and it's his ring. Then Rollins walks out, and as he does that, he announces that Jeff Hardy's going to be facing Lars Sullivan on Friday. We then get AJ Styles coming out to then mock everyone, and then him and Rollins go into an argument. Jeff Hardy swings through the rope, kicks him. I think he throws one of them into the steps, and then I think he throws AJ's into the steps. AJ's sort of prone on the floor. He uses him to do the poetry motion to Seth Rollins. Then he grabs a mic, and he's been in so many over the years that he challenges them both to a triple threat tag team match. Of course, he means just a triple threat match. But this match was very good. It went back and forth as they all wanted to make a statement before everyone went their separate ways. And like Hardy at times, it looked like it was in a handicap match. But as we spoke about before, the finish is excellent. We have Rollins being trapped in the calf crusher, and then it's broken, and then a swanton bomb on Rollins, and then Rollins still managed to kick out. Then Elias comes in, hits Jeff Hardy with his guitar, set up the victory for AJ Styles, and that is my one match to watch from Raw. Moving into the summary, we've got 2 points each to talk about. I'm going to talk about two, and then Chris will talk about two. The draft is over now. Some very strong picks over the two nights and the backstage segments and whatnot. My best pick of this, I'd probably have to say Alexa Bliss to Raw, just because that's, we still get that storyline of Alexa Bliss and The Fiend. And as I mentioned before, so many limitless stuff that can go on between them two. Just while I've got you, Chris, what is your number one pick from the draft?
I mean, my number one pick for this actually is fairly simple, and it is Charlotte being on Raw, just because it's good to hear that there's the first rumblings of her coming back. Obviously, we don't know when that'll be, but it's nice to see that there's a lot of injured superstars that weren't drafted at all. For example, I think it's Eric of the Viking Raiders. Is still a free agent, I believe. Whereas Charlotte, it's good to see that she still has that position, because she is very, very easily, arguably, the greatest female superstar of all time. So I'm glad that she still has that recognition.
As well as all the interesting picks, we've got interesting storylines to develop. There's been a mix-up. I think there's probably about 15 brand switches overall without actually double-checking. We've also got three matches confirmed for Hell in a Cell, which is Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, Drew versus Randy, and Bayley versus Sasha Banks. They're all on the same brand still. They've already been put in place. But now with all this mix-up, there's so many potential more opportunities with Hell in a Cell just 2 weeks away on this Sunday. Chris, over to you to finish.
Yeah, the first point that I want to bring up in the summary is the Eddie Guerrero tribute. I know we've already spoken about it, but it is such a nice little iconic spot to see time and time again. If you've never seen some of the Eddie ones, it's a master in either heel or face work. He had a particularly good one against Rey Mysterio. There's a lot you can go into a YouTube black hole. Do check it out. It's nice to see it rear itself up again. And like I said, it was a good way to finish off the Ricochet versus Hurt Business feud. Nice little moment. And then lastly, but by no means leastly, Lana. Yes, Lana is your number one contender to the Raw Women's Championship and will be going up against Asuka next week on the season premiere of Raw. I hope she's ready for Asuka, because she's being fed to the lions. It's going to be a very interesting match to watch. I'm very intrigued to see what they do with it. I assume it will feed into more Natalya versus Lana, into that feud some more, but we'll have to wait and see. Either way, what a way to finish the season finale of Raw. But by the by, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to leave us a review on the podcast if you've enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod, and check us out on YouTube at Sport Wrestling for all our interviews. Make sure you check out the main podcast and all our reviews on all good podcasting apps. We'll be back to review NXT and AEW on Thursday, as well as Inside the Ropes' Kenny McIntosh being the very special guest on the main podcast. Thank you so much for listening in. Now let's go home.